Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 11 of Are You the One? Wrap up podcast. Don't forget the name of your own podcast when you're introducing the show. My name is Allie Lasher, and I am here for the last time this season with my co-host Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just being here.
Just being here is enough.
Yeah, that's perfect. I would hope so, because there's not much more I could do.
So it's so crazy because it's episode 11 for us, but it's week 9 for them. And I actually like that they are setting that up for us over the last 2 weeks. Like, don't forget, this isn't their 11th matchup ceremony. It's like week 9. So I think they did a good job of positioning that like right at the top of the show.
Yeah, no, you're right. And so, but also the weeks for them are like 3 days, right?
I can't speculate on production.
Maybe it's an hour. Like each day, a week is an hour, and they've only been there for one full day.
Anything is possible. I didn't think it was possible that we'd be at week 9 with no perfect matches confirmed. And we have Keith stepping up, as you mentioned last week from the previews, this would happen. Are a math and statistics degree from college necessary to crack Are You the One?
I think Virginia Tech actually offers like specific classes for Are You the One math. So I think that's what he went for. So I think it really lines up perfectly that Keith can help out with this.
I thought he was going to be kind of like a big joke, but he ends up kind of moving the house in a decent direction. I mean, we're going to talk later, but not exactly his intended result. But he is going through the weeks. He calls out Michael and Kiana and Dimitri and Deandra as possible matches, which kind of throws Michael for a little bit of a loop. Somehow, I think Kiana thinks if Michael and Kiana are a perfect match, like that will somehow make Michael like her boyfriend. Like, I don't know why she gets so giddy about it.
Yeah, I don't know. And then she has probably one of the weirdest lines of the season where she said she'd take a bullet for him. Like, I don't understand. Like, would she take a bullet for a lot of people then? Like, is that just something she throws around loosely? Because I feel like taking a bullet for someone's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I'd say so. Might be the understatement of the podcast there, Adam.
For real. And she just throws that around. Like, it's like, yeah, I take a bullet for Michael. It's like, how well do you know him? I feel like she's watched him a lot more than she's actually interacted with him this season.
That's accurate. And like, as somebody who's only watched him myself and not interacted with him at all, I definitely wouldn't take a bullet for him. So I don't know what she's seeing. If she needs to adjust her TV set. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance. Like, if somebody had a firearm anywhere near Michael and I was there, I don't think I'd do much to stop it. I'd be like, you know what? Like, it's either Michael dies or I die. And I think I'm just gonna let him take the bullet up for this one.
So we stand pretty firm where we've been all season on Kiana here.
Yes.
But Shad, I can't believe I'm saying this, but unprofessional. Shad has, I think, the biggest turnaround of an episode I've seen in a long time, where in the beginning he's speaking out against Keith and I'm like, oh, of course Shad is the one who doesn't want to play with strategy. Like, he's so in love with someone in the house, right? Like, he wants to follow his heart. Who's checking Keith? And then by the end of the episode, I'm like, wow, Shad, not a bad guy.
Yeah. Where is he coming from? And I love how he compares himself to an oak tree. I think that like, it was just after he said it, I was like I was actually impressed.
Speaking of impressed, I don't know if impressed is the word, but like, you almost, when somebody is just such an a-hole, you almost like have to admire it, right? Like,
yes.
I knew Michael wasn't going to be loyal to Jaless, and I knew Michael was a D-bag, but I didn't think anyone was capable of like this level of douchebaggery when Michael and Jaless have sex with Audrey in the room.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. He is a D-bag. And like, he had sex so close to Zoe, she was almost D-bagged in the process. Sorry, that was terrible. But I that was probably like the most I fell for Audrey all season, because we've been pretty tough on her. Like, we've had our fair share of comments against Audrey. No, but the poor girl, like, has to see the guy she cares about that obviously doesn't give two shits about her have sex 7 feet away from her, hears it probably, I would say, maybe 48 hours after she slept with Michael. And, like, it really does, like, and the person to comfort her is the Shad.
So you're saying you feel bad for her because Shad's comforting her?
I think a little more than Michael's having sex a few feet away, but that her biggest oak tree is Shad and is probably, like, not a close number two.
See, yeah, I agree. We've been tough on Audrey. This no one deserves. Like, I don't hate Audrey like that. No one deserves this. Yeah. This was terrible. Zoe also doesn't deserve this. Oh, I mean, God, she was in the action. I do have to, like, say again, shout out to Jada for coming in. What are you guys doing? You best not be having sex, breaking it up. That killed me.
Oh, it's Jada's been a very, I was going to say a soft spot for the season. That doesn't make any sense. She's been a shining spot throughout the season. Let's go with that.
Comedic relief.
There you go.
No, that was great. But, like, yeah, she's realizing what we've seen over the last few weeks, that, like, all of Michael's connections in the house are purely based on sex. It almost goes back to, like, Kiana. Like, Kiana got really emotionally close to him, and he was like, ah, this is not my match. Yeah. Like, I'm not into for this emotional closeness. Audrey... Go ahead.
No, you keep going, and then I'll go after.
No, but basically, just like Audrey, like we mentioned last week, you know, says, like, I don't want it to just be physical, but then leads with the physical with him. And now she's learning, unfortunately, the hard way that was Michael all along, and she's discussed it. I feel terrible. I actually thought Chad did a good job here, though.
Yeah.
In comforting her.
No, he did. And I think Alexis tweeted something along the lines of that Chad took care of her like 5 more times than he should have when she was drunk. So I think Chad was a very, like, she compared him to the Terminator, but he is a very, like, straightforward, doesn't really, I guess, mess around too much, maybe keeps to himself, but he obviously cares about the people in the house. So I think that's a good quality and something that I at least didn't expect from Shad when we first met him on the first day, and I thought he was the biggest douche.
No, definitely. This was a big turnaround for me with Shad, unexpectedly. And I think he was also saying things like, I get pissed later at, like, Keith trying to make Shad justify, like, why they're a match.
Yeah.
But here it's like exactly what Audrey needs to hear. And he just kind of like has this intuition, like, Michael knew Audrey wanted to hear, like, you're better than Jules. Chad knows Audrey wants to hear, like, you're the complete package. You know, you can get any guy you want, like, blah, blah, blah. So, like, this works on Audrey, and Chad just has that intuition. Like, good for them. Like, good for Shad.
I agree. And I think that what Audrey failed to realize this whole time, and I think she probably knew it deep down, was that Michael went on this show to hook up with people, right? Like, that was definitely what he probably wanted to go on a game and Instagram followers and treat it kind of like a frat party where he just goes around and hooks up with different girls. And that's what he did. And he's like, you could clearly see that he's such a douche. Like, it stands out more than anything. But I think he accomplished what he wanted to do. And he, I don't think he cares who he hurts in the process.
Totally agree. So this is interesting, getting to social media a little bit early, because spoiler alerts, we don't have tweets today, but we have just whatever Adam and I can remember from social media. During the week or last weekend, whatever, Jules and Audrey were like hanging out, and they were on Instagram like, we don't hate each other, we're friends, like, love her. I'm all for that and realizing, like, great, like, the guy played you, not each other. I actually don't understand how they're friends.
Yeah. I don't understand. I get some of these people, like, you know what, they realize how dumb their beef was, but they really didn't like each other. And, like, especially Audrey really didn't like Jules. So do you think they just kind of like you mentioned with the finale or the reunion, that there was not enough fight, so they had to bring people from other seasons in. So
yeah.
Do you think they all just kind of got off the show and were like, okay, like, it's over, let's all be friends now. Like, is that possible for an RE1 cast to do?
I think it's possible. I mean, I always go back to the interview I did with Zach Longo where he said, like, you know, people are not in relationships. Like, even the people who freak out and seem like, that's my boyfriend, you cheated on me, like, are like, okay, we've been together 5 minutes. Like, it doesn't really matter. But, like, there's a difference between like Jaleesa and Michael hooking up in the Boom Boom Room and Jaleesa having sex with Michael in front of her. Like that to me, I'm just putting this out there. Good for them. They're better women than I am. Like, I am not being your friend when you have sex with someone in front of me like that.
Agreed. I think I don't think there's coming back from that. But you know what? Good for them that they did.
Okay. Sorry. Like, that really did a lot. So in between the Michael and Jaleesa nonsense, we have a very funny little snippet that I would maybe skip over if this wasn't a podcast with me and you, a couple of Jersey meatballs. Kareem and Deandra connecting over this, that, and the third. Like, Deandra said so many things that meant absolutely nothing to explain why her and Kareem are getting along.
What did she say? Like, I'm really blanking on anything she said. Quote,
"We know what's good. We're from Jersey. This, that, and the third."
What is good? Like, do you know what's good? Like, are you aware of what she's referring to?
I've never heard anyone say this, that, and the third. That cracked me up.
It is such a weird thing to say.
But you might see Deandra at your gym now.
I honestly, if I could see her in it's perfect. Like, if I seeing both of them, like, I think it'd be a show. Like, I don't know what they would be doing. I feel like he'd be lifting weights while running on like the treadmill or something like that. And I have no idea what she'd be doing. I don't have a funny thing for her.
I think maybe you're the third. Keith, you really Deandra's so? This. Kareem is that, and you're the third. No, this, that, and the third. That, maybe that was it.
Maybe that's what they've been referring to this whole time, and we just didn't realize. And they were planning for like this moment with the podcast.
It's like the new Da Vinci Code. We cracked it.
I think that's what we're on to.
Can you tell I didn't read that book? Is that what that's about? I don't know.
Yeah, well, actually, you're not like – I feel like I read the Da Vinci Code like 3 years ago, but it's – you're not whoa, far off. You're not far off. Like, no, I'm – hey, there's a lot of – crazy things. Like, I read the Da Vinci Code like as any normal human being would 3 years ago. I was gonna say I read it over and over, but like, I feel like I've driven this joke into the ground already, so I'm just gonna say I read it once.
I just like that. That's like the new humble brag of the century. I read the Da Vinci Code 3 years ago. Okay, good for you, Adam.
And I'm not I swear, like, I'm not like, I didn't do it in a way where I was like, yeah, I can't wait to bring this up this podcast, like, I'm gonna work the Da Vinci Code in somehow.
All right, so Keith and Alexis are still going strong, and Keith makes a great romantic gesture to try to basically propose a threesome by pretending he had a dream about it.
You know, he did that. Like, he was waiting for that all day. Like, he was like, just like, okay, like, if I bring this up, Mr. Way, maybe she'd be down. Like, she really likes me, so we'll see. Like, you know, that was like it's one of those jokes that has a lot of truth to it.
But if I say any more on this segment, people will get mad at me for being too tough on Keith, but I just really don't like the guy. That's it.
It's okay. You don't have to like,
I think he's been good. Like, I'll say this. I think he's been good for the show. I think he's been a main storyline. I think like every show also needs this kind of turning point. If anybody's tuning in who hasn't watched a season of Are You the One before this, like, this is around the time when they have a Tori and a Derek and a Devin come in and say, like, okay, we have to get strategizing. Who are you sitting with? Let's pretend that Zoe and Joe are a match and move from there. Like, and Keith's the guy. So, like, he's a necessary person on the show, but not my favorite.
No, you're entitled to not like him that much.
Okay, sorry. I just had a chemical emergency.
Oh.
Sorry, I spilled nail polish remover on my desk. Okay, so anyway. Oh, sorry, everyone.
Is it a big mess? It's perfect for this podcast, though.
This rivals when I had to stop the challenge podcast to get a bee in my room. Okay. Anyway, I'll keep moving. And if I start like acting loopy, it's because I'm like huffing nail polish remover by accident.
Got it.
Okay. So we get to the challenge. Speaking of dropping the ball, the challenge is don't drop the ball. So many bandanas, so little time on these guys. Like, why does everybody need, you don't ever break a sweat on these challenges. Like, why do you need a full force bandana on your brow?
Yeah, speaking back to Da Vinci Code time, like, I would say a little after that, I used to wear bandanas and like, not like all the time,
picks,
but like
picks.
No. But I used to wear them like, just like when for some reason, I guess it was like a YouTube like thing, like, where people thought they were cool. So I'd wear them, and like months later, or like my girlfriend brought up and she's like, yeah, like, I really didn't like that phase. She's like, could you not like do that again. And I was like, why didn't you tell me what was going on? Why did you wait 6 months to tell me how dumb it looked? She's like, I felt really bad. So apparently that's like a terrible look for me. So every time I hear bandanas, I think of like never going near another one.
All right. I think that's a good rule for anyone.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless you're like a pirate.
Yeah, pirates probably do get a pass.
Pirates get a pass. All right. So the way this worked is there was a game and I couldn't think of what it was, but there's a total game like this where it's just a like long rectangle of marbles being held up by like pickup stick style sticks jammed in. Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of the Jenga effect where you want to pull one without dropping any of the balls. This was like a big version of that. There seemed to be no strategy to the how you pick a pole because the thing wasn't translucent. You couldn't see through it. Yeah. So you couldn't see what your stick was holding up. So it was essentially men determined by Terrence or the show, a one-up one-on-one, answered a question. If you got it right, your opponent has to draw a stick. If you get it wrong, you have to draw a stick. So basically, it's answer a question, and then it's a lottery whether or not you stay in the game. If the balls drop when you pull the stick, you're out. I thought this was interesting in a couple of ways. Backing up to the fact that Terrence called the two men out two at a time, do you think it should have been more like Big Brother, where you choose who goes up against each other when you win?
I guess it could have been, but I feel like the reason Big Brother does that is to like expose alliances and see where people are at. I feel like since they're all going to the same goal, either way, it kind of has the same result.
I just wanted them to be able to have more strategy of like getting the people who you don't want in the truth booth out early, because they weren't doing that strategy. So like Michael goes up against Ethan. Obviously, they want to send Michael and Kiana in or Michael and Jaless in. Ethan doesn't have anyone to get sent in with. And Ethan answers the question correctly and Michael gets dropped out.
Yeah.
So, like, they could have, even if they were drawn the way they were to go up against each other, like, Ethan should have taken a dive potentially. You know, Anthony should have taken a dive against Tyler. Kareem probably should have taken a dive against Clinton. Like, all of these things that they weren't really working in strategy.
Yeah, and I guess you're right that it's if they get to choose, they really do have control over everything, and it kind of aligns with the whole format of the show where they're trying to work together to figure something out. It was kind of weird that they just got thrown in there randomly.
But Tyler, by some miracle, survives when he has to pull a stick. I think he's the only one we saw survive that.
Yeah, it seemed like if you had to pull a stick, like you're screwed pretty much. So the fact that he did survive, that was a pretty big deal.
So when I'm taking notes on the show with my New Orleans correspondent, I rarely say anything. Like, I'm just taking notes and I'm watching the show.
Yeah.
When Jada said that she thinks you should say I love you in the third week of a relationship,
right,
I blew my top. Because I was like, what kind of metric is that? Like, you should say I love you when you feel it. And then also like, oh, it's the third week. I love you. Like, I just thought it was so, so strange.
I thought it was strange on a lot of levels, too. I think like if you feel it after 3 weeks, it's maybe this is just me. I don't think it's a great idea to say I love you. I feel like people might get kind of freaked out if that happens. What is your like, OK, if you had to put a metric on it, like what would you say for your past relationships, the amount of time has been?
Wow. I will say, I'm only talking about my personal life on the podcast. I just don't think there is a metric. Like, I really, okay. I think I agree with you that like 3 weeks might make you seem crazy. And when I watch this, I was like, okay, that's why Jada is single. but I don't think there's a metric. I really don't. I think that kind of like defeats the purpose of the emotion. Like, if you're like, okay, we're 6 weeks in, this is getting ridiculous, do you love me or not? Like, then you probably should just break up if that's how you're feeling.
True. I feel like you're right. There should be no like time. Like, maybe you could feel it at any time, but you have to be very conscious of when you say it because of the perception of how it comes across. So I guess it just depends on the relationship and how fast things are going.
But we agree that having an expectation of 3 weeks is insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
I do think Jaless and Audrey, who are both shown themselves to be pretty jealous girls in the house, when they're asked, like, oh, do you expect them to end your friendship with exes or do you expect them to unfriend them on Instagram? I don't believe for a second that they really meant no.
Oh, no.
When they said no.
Yeah, they're both putting on and like, look, I'm a cool girlfriend. You could do whatever you want. Like the minute that happens, nah, it's over. They're I could see, I don't know. I don't want to judge them too much because like you said, they're characters on a show. But I cannot see a world where they're okay with their boyfriend being friends with their exes anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Who am I to say? But I did laugh. I also laughed when they broke into this montage of like them just answering the answers without showing the questions. So it'd be like Keith rings in 4, someone rings in yes, and then they pull the sticks. Like, why tell us the answers to questions we don't know?
It was a weird way to edit it, but like I'm not surprised.
Yeah, very true. I shouldn't be surprised. So it comes down to Dimitri v. Tyler, and Tyler wins. It's scary how close, with no perfect matches, and this is the second to last truth booth, that how close they came to not having any substantial couples to send into the truth booth.
Yeah, and I feel like everyone was kind of talking about like, oh, well, Nicole and Tyler have this connection. But like, have we really seen anything from them since that one like awkward time where they were like outside hanging out and like talking about ice cream, and he was like trying to think of all the things they have in common, and they showed him at the matchup ceremony. But after that, like, have we really seen much of them?
No, and I think the issue with Tyler here is like, oh, he calls himself Mr. Friendzone. Like, he doesn't have a lot of confidence making romantic relationships. But I do think that he's probably gotten to know Nicole, you know, in a non-physical way. And he's probably gotten to know her as a friend and is better able to make an assessment than someone like Michael, who's like hooking up with people and is like, oh, yeah, this is definitely my match. So I don't know. And I've been wondering this the whole episode, how much the excitement of being perfect matches is reciprocated by Nicole as much as it's like kind of like the Kiana thing. Like, he's been watching her, he's gotten to know her, and he knows himself, so he thinks they're a match. But I don't know how much Nicole really like knows or likes Tyler.
Yeah, I think she maybe thinks like he'd be a good boyfriend or he'd be good for her compared to the D-bag she's dated, but she's maybe trying to see the light in it. Like, but I was thinking about this last night when I was watching it, that I don't think there's any chance that they make it after the show.
I know, but I really want them to. Like, I like them together. But yeah, I mean, if she's interested in him when they're doing the tall guys or short guys thing a couple of weeks ago, she's not answering in a way that doesn't describe him. Like, she was flat out like, you're not my type.
Yep.
Like, I like short guys. Like, I like this and that, and you're not that. Yeah. This, that, and a third. You're not even the fourth.
Yeah, he's not even the seventh. Like, I think that she kept saying, like, well, he's not usually the guy I go for, but, like, she said that a lot. So if you have to keep saying that this is not the guy you go for and you're, like, trying to go for him, like, I just don't see a potential future there. But it'd be nice if something works out. Like, it'd be nice for both of them.
Agree. I ship them. I like them on the date, even though it was awkward, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So this painful, painful conversation with Michael and Kiana, where Kiana's like, I still like you. I feel about you like I've never felt before. And he literally, Michael, for the first time in the history of the world, is up front and is like, you deserve a good guy, but I'm not the guy. Like, that's what he should have said to Audrey before he effed Jules, but whatever. And Kiana is like, you can be. No. Kiana, you just want to shake her. Like, no.
It sucks because these are the people, and it's guys and girls who both do this. Like, it's not, like, obviously we're seeing Kiana do this, but, like, seeing guys do this too, and it's just, it is really sad to watch, because after they haven't had a substantial relationship, like, I'm not saying they haven't had a friendship, we don't know that. They haven't had a substantial relationship in X amount of time in the house since week one. Like, she even said it was only week one. Like, she barely knows him, and what she knows is that he's going from one girl sleeping with them, going to the next after he gets bored. Like, I don't know what the positives are that she sees in him at this point.
She is like lost in another world right now. Like, I hope she's watching this and is like, ooh, maybe not do that next time.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for her, but like, I can't blame Michael for this. Like, he's just flat out like, I'm not your match. Or if I am your match, I'm not the guy. Like, I'm not trying to date you. And like, you know, he's like, can I go talk to Gillesse now? Which is cold. But, you know, she's not getting the hint. Like, you know, he's being very upfront with her.
Yeah, I think that people like that who are so into someone like blindly and like can't take a hint is probably just more difficult to watch than someone who's just straight up blunt and rude. Because if you can't take a hint, it's just very uncomfortable and awkward. And like, he obviously does not want to be in that room, let alone be with her on a serious level. So I just, you know what, she got to learn how to take a hint.
I mean, it's like not even a hint at this point. So I mean, if there's kudos to be given to Michael, it's in this moment. But I, you know, everything gets canceled out. So they go on a date, which is my personal nightmare for two reasons. One, I don't do haunted houses. Two, I don't do exposed thighs in ripped jeans on men, Anthony. So just like absolute nightmare all around.
Imagine he was your teacher. Like, does that just thinking about like your teacher coming in wearing ripped jeans? Like, does that just freak you out?
Yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting that Anthony is a teacher.
It bothers me every time I think about it.
Teachers have lives too.
Yeah, not they don't go on our either one.
Okay, so I'm excited. I just looked at Kiana's Twitter and she responded to something, but more on that later. So they're on this date. It's Anthony and Zoe. I feel for Zoe here because I think she must be sick of hearing that she was everyone's number one woman on day one, except they just happened to end up in committed relationships with people who are not her.
I was thinking about this. Does that mean that like everyone thinks she's really pretty, but like beyond that, they didn't develop anything with her? Like personality wise, like nobody connected with her?
Yeah, like I don't know why this is a compliment. Like, you were the first girl I wanted to talk to, and then I lost interest immediately.
Right? Like, it's like you were, it was looking good from like the outside looking in, but like once I started talking to you, like I realized there was somebody else in the house of conceited douchebags that I like better than you.
Yeah, I Zoe's too good for all of these people that have showed interest in her.
Yeah, no, I like Zoe. I feel like we haven't seen too much, but like from what I've seen, she seems like a nice person.
Yeah, I like her.
That's a good consensus.
All right, so another incredibly awkward date with Nicole and Tyler. But this is another time where I was shouting out at my TV. I was like, kiss, kiss, kiss. I need you to settle something between me and my New Orleans correspondent here.
Okay.
Who tried to tell me all kinds of stuff about the haunted house. And I was like, I don't care. So I have no actual New Orleans info for you. But I constantly complain about guys asking on reality shows, like, oh, may I kiss you? Like, whatever. So I think he was used to me complaining about guys asking in this way. And so he was like, oh, don't ask. And I was like, I don't feel like this was necessarily an ask. Do you need me to lay out how this happened before you give your official decision?
Yeah. Lay it out just a little bit.
All right. So he said, I'd regret it my whole life if I didn't kiss my perfect match. And then they kissed. Now, I'm manipulating the information a little bit because what he also did was like a little you me, like point gesture.
Oh, okay.
Like, almost like a so I'm waiting for the official ruling on this. Was this, and consent is important. I'm not saying you can't ask someone before you're with them, but in this exact moment, you know what I mean? When the guy's like, may I kiss you now?
Yeah.
Please.
Oh God. Okay. So like, yeah, I agree. First of all, the consent thing, like there's a big difference between this and like what Anthony did, like pulling someone's face in, like, you know, like there's a line in between them. So I do think that like you could lean in and kind of get a vibe if someone wants to kiss you back. Like what Joe did last week, I think it was last week, and Olivia like pushed his like, no, I'm not into this. So do I think this is necessarily an ask? I would say no. I don't think he's asking. I think he's flirtatiously trying to see if it could happen, but I don't think he's going straight up like, will you kiss me now? Like that awkward moment where 90% of guys do it on reality shows. So I'm going to say no.
But Boom. I agree. I think the gesture is bad, but the line wasn't bad, for especially for Tyler. Like, you know, like basically saying, like, I know you're my perfect match. Like, it was sweet. I'm rooting for them, but, you know, we already talked about this.
Yeah.
This killed me, though. I just forgot her name. Nicole's Coachella outfit in the truth booth of her overalls, which I say that with the utmost respect. Like, I have a pair of overalls like that. And gladiator sandals. Like, it was very, you know, flower power. It was a very strange outfit for your last night in the house.
Yeah, and she also, we commented on her last week when she was dressed in, like, that, like, gold jumpsuit or whatever it was. So she's just pulling them out one after one with all these crazy outfits.
She takes risks. I'll give that to her. I never like them, but she takes the risks.
The terrible risks, but, you know, she does it.
And in fairness, I'm wearing gray sweatpants and a gray t-shirt right now, so I really shouldn't be talking about what she's wearing.
Yeah, I think I'm wearing my shirts probably from 2008, so I also cannot comment.
I have a full-blown grow fit going on, so. All right. So they're a perfect match. First one in the house. My favorite couple that celebrates this has to be Kareem and Clinton. Like, it's like all of these like men and women hugging each other. They just have Kareem with a man bun, but I don't even want to discuss that. And Clinton,
he's
hugging it out.
Kareem's just building up his case for best cast member of the season. I think he's
flag on the play.
You know what I mean by that? Like, I don't mean like he's the sweetest guy around. I mean, like, such a weird trajectory of actions.
I don't even want to touch that.
Well, I'll touch it. I think I'm excited to dive more in. Okay, first, one thing I want to say, this is all I'll say, is his facial expressions are fantastic.
Look, I really can't respond once you've said that he's the best cast member of the season.
But do you get what I mean by best cast member? Like, okay, I don't mean like most likable. I mean most entertaining to watch, and I'll stand by that 100% that I think he's potentially the most entertaining on the cast, and I don't mean likable, but I'm entertaining.
So, see, this is where I get sad for Tyler, because he's like, you're the person I wanted to be a match with, and she really doesn't reciprocate anything. But what turned this awkward night around is the perfect match jingle written by the show. I have a friend, Jonathan, who's been getting into the show, and he texted me, like, do they sing this every perfect match? So for anyone who's just watching this season, no, this was one time only,
super
this cast.
Super. I just thought it was so, like seeing them, like, try to finish that, it's like, oh, I don't know. I just thought it was really cringy.
Oh, this was pre-prepared. Like, they've definitely been singing this around the house. Like, this was not freestyle. They all knew the words.
Yeah, no, they practice it. I do you think Tyler like came up with it, since he's like the ukulele guy in the house?
Maybe Tyler and Ethan, I don't know. But I liked it. I've missed this, like, now that we've had the first perfect match of the season, it made me realize how much I miss these like little moments through the season. Like, these celebrations I think are fun. They're bright spots, and like, this season's been great, but it's been like a little bit weighed down, I think, by not having more perfect matches throughout.
No, you're right. I guess it's a good moment for them to all celebrate together and finally have something to really celebrate about.
So we have Malcolm Gilles, like, full court press to Malcolm, which is like very interesting. She's like, your matches are getting cheated out of the experience. I want more with you, but you won't let me. Like, she has a really strong friendship with him. I think what she's like basically trying to convince him is to get something physical going. And I'm just sort of like, I don't know. I don't know why Gilles, of all people, who would have loved to be in a no match couple with Anthony right now, is like so obsessed with getting physical with Clinton.
And she calls, and then like all the Uche thing where she like walks in and like, I don't know. I've mentioned throughout this whole thing that I'm not a huge fan of Gilles, but like the way she's describing it, like, oh, and I think like about like talking about the kiss with Michael and saying, like, does everyone hate me now? But the way Clinton's like body language is, like, if she went in for a kiss, I think he'd want to deny it, but I think a big part of me thinks that he might have went along with it. I don't know. His body language is really not showing that he doesn't want to like hook up with her or doesn't want to be around her. And to comment on like Uche running in and like kind of awkwardly like while like seeing them and trying to break it up, I guess like Reddit, I was reading some comments this week. They're not big fans of Uche at all.
Ooh.
Yeah, the T.
I see. I totally agree with you on Clinton. Like if I'm, it's like the people who are like, oh, I didn't technically cheat, but like you had an emotional relationship or you like were all over her, but your just lips didn't touch, you know, like it's like if I'm watching this as Uche, like I'm having just as bad of a reaction as I would if they had kissed. Like he's not. He's, you know, isolating them. He's like touching her, his arms around her. He's hugging her. He's like, oh, you're tempting me. You're tempting me. Like, he's not just saying like, look, I'm not interested.
And that's why it sucks, because it's actions speak louder than words. Like just by saying, I'm not going to like kiss you or I'm not going to do whatever. Like he's doing everything. But and I think body language really, you could really see a lot from how someone like interacts in body language. So like the physicality is there. So like it would be tough if I was the third party in the situation watching what's going on.
No, I think that's a great observation. A lot of like stupid little bits. Tyler has BO. Maybe that's why Nicole is not reciprocating.
It could have been. That's not a, you gotta deodorize, my friend.
And then we have the big strategy session of the season. And they decide to base it off of Joe and Zoe being a match, which I don't think is a bad plan. We've talked about, we think Joe and Zoe could be a match all season. What I don't like is the way that Keith and Alexis determine that Joe, like that Shad somehow has to justify why they're a perfect match to a higher level than any other person in the house. Like we have Keith and Alexis, a no match couple, being like, no, you need something more than that to be a perfect match. Like Keith, you don't know what makes somebody a perfect match. And if Shad is saying this is a real possibility, okay, but you don't need to tell him to just shut the F up. Like he could have said like, let's do Joe and Zoe now. I think we all are more in agreement. And then like we have another week if we're wrong. I just think this was like completely mishandled by Keith and why I think Keith is a complete a-hole.
You know, so the thing that stuck out to me the most was when he was like, I talk and she listens, like I'm quieter. She's a lot more emotional. I don't understand what else he wanted. I understand maybe it was a little bit vague, but like, what did he want? Like she likes roller coasters. I like reading. Like, I don't understand like what he was looking for. I think Shad's description of their friendship or relationship or whatever you want to describe it as was great. And it was a reason why they would be a match. So that confused me, because I think he was just looking for a reason to shut down Shad no matter what he said.
Totally agree. That was frustrating to me too. All right, so we go to the matchup, though, with Shad being told to shut up, and they're going to model it off of Joe and Zoe. I do kind of wish that they, like, had Shad go first or after Anthony and, like, given him the opportunity to fuck it up and pick Audrey.
Oh, my God, that would have been great. And I think he would have.
I don't know, but I thought that was a possibility that they were at least going to put. Maybe they talked to him before and he was definitely going to pick Olivia, so it didn't matter. But
no, that
would have been exciting.
Yeah, I could see, because I think they would go for peak drama. So you're probably right that they, whether they have a run through or whether like with the producers one on one where they talk to the cast members individually. So I'm sure you're right. They probably knew that he was going to go with Olivia because the house wanted that.
All right. So Anthony picks Uche, Joey picks Zoe, Dimitri picks Audrey, Shad picks Olivia. And then Clinton and Jaless have a little moment where Jaless is complaining like she'll never know if he's her match because he's two with his no match.
What?
And I'm just like, did that not make sense?
Sorry. No. It makes sense. I'm confused at what she said. Sorry. Keep going. What she said.
So basically, Jaless is saying, I can only know if Clinton's my match if we hook up.
Yeah, exactly.
and like, I was happy for Uche to call her out and be like, you would have been with Anthony.
Yes.
And Jaless does not really hit that on the head. She's just like, I was team no matches for a long time, but now I'm trying to play the game and find my match. No, like, you got dumped and now you don't have a choice. So like, Jaless is really grating on me here. Because, like, that's it. Like, she would still want to be with Anthony. I really think if Anthony came back to her and was like, I'm so sorry, like, let's be together, she'd be like, oh, okay.
Oh, for sure. There's 1,000%. And the thing that bothers me the most about Jaleesa is that when she says this, she's saying, I'll never know for my perfect match. And Jaleesa, in a week you will. That's how the show works. I feel like she'll say anything at any given moment to kind of support her side, even if it contradicts everything else she's done in the house.
Yeah. People still like Jaleesa, which is fine. Like, she's losing me.
Who do you mean by people?
Like, somebody tweeted me, like, I like Jaleesa.
Oh, well, that's people.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, cool.
So then Keith picks Jada, or Malcolm picks Alexis, Keith picks Jada. I'm just like, this is a total mess, but this truth booth, this matchup ceremony was worth it because we heard Shad with the line of the century that Keith does not live in his heart. He's not paying rent.
And he also said he wasn't LeBron James. Like, it was, like, and I know he said that before, but Shad really, if there's an MVP, can we give it to Shad this episode?
Yeah, I think he really made the turn of the season here.
Good for him. You know, he earned it.
And, like, could you pick a worse match than Keith and Jada? Like, I'm just like, oh, my God.
Oh, my. Yeah, that is weird. That doesn't make sense at all.
Watch, like, their match. Well, whatever. I still don't think it makes sense.
As long as Michael and Keanu are a match, I'm okay with any other match.
That's true. We only need that one, yep. And we're fine. So then Ethan picks Nerys. Deandra picks Kareem. Michael picks Keanu. Which, like, she definitely was wearing an outfit Zoe wore a couple weeks ago, which is fine. Share the love. But they go back, and this is why I, like, knew they weren't getting it on this matchup, or if they were, like, it was sad. Because these seats are designed to force you to, like, sit with your arm around each other, and we've seen people, like, even if they're just friends, like, the guy puts his arm around the girl. No one is doing that. Like, Michael's not. He's sitting, like, shoulder out, like, talking about body language. Like, almost no one is touching the person they're sitting next to.
That probably shows a lot about the matchmakers process here. If they were all perfect matches, so but there's five of them that are perfect matches. So five of those no touching couples were designed or destined to be together.
Very true. 5 out of 11, which four new beams only. But I don't know how they're going to read this into next week with their last chance. But, like, I don't know if this, I don't know how much they had figured out based on Zoe and Joe. If this wasn't 8 beams, do they know that Joe and Zoe are in a match? So, like, we'll see what the fallout is going to be next week with their last matchup ceremony. And wow, it looks like there is an unlikely hookup brewing, and I cannot wait for next week.
Who? I didn't see the preview. You have to fill me in on this.
It looks like Alexis and Michael make out.
Alexis and Michael. Oh, wow.
Who knows? Maybe it's like a truth or dare situation, but it doesn't look like it.
So Michael is really going to make everyone hate him.
I mean, is there anyone who likes Michael right now?
Keanu.
Very true.
Keanu loves Michael. She doesn't just like him. She loves him.
So last week I announced that this was going to be my last week covering the show this season. But I have a change on that. Still will be my last week, but my old co-host and my current co-host for the challenge, Brian Cohen, is actually going to come in and take my place next week. So he actually reached out to me, which means, you know, he's excited. And we joked that, like, there is something in Adam, you could probably relate to this, like, when you're covering a show on a podcast, it completely changes the way you watch the show.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not that you enjoy it more, but, like, you know, you don't have to take notes. No one's going to be asking you questions about it. You're not going to be, like, thinking through it. You're just enjoying it. So Brian's going to come in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, all fresh, ready to talk about this season with the glow and glimmer in his eye of someone who has not had to podcast about the season. So it should be good. Tune in for that. And it's like, you know, my two co-hosts will finally meet as one on a podcast.
We're just gonna start our own podcast next season. Even if Are You the One gets canceled, like, this might be the end of you at all. Like, this could be the end of your podcasting career if we really hit it off.
That's true, but do remember that Brian quit Are You the One. He didn't get fired for you, so he's I don't know if Brian's looking to take out anything more, but you can ask him next week.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So thank you to our 5-star reviewer, Boise Blondie, nice. Who shouted out Ari the One. We really appreciate that. If you want to do the same, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. A couple of things I pulled from Twitter only about Kiana. Tyler tweeted, Kiana only has fun in the house when she's looking at Michael, thinking about Michael, sniffing Michael's clothes. Kiana tweeted a lot of stuff. Let's discuss something. Me, quote, taking a bullet for Michael is editing. They've used it this same clip for the past 6 weeks. Same MF outfit, boo. Take a step back and chill.
What? She said it, though. What does she mean it's editing?
I know. I think she means, like, she didn't say it week 9. She only said it week 1, which is almost crazier.
Yeah. That's way worse.
But, like, I thought they had these lines of, like, I stand by my statement. Maybe she also said that week 1 and they just aired it now.
Either way, it's she said it and I think it's funny to watch, so.
And then she wrote, disclaimer, I'm super drunk. New tweet. Why do I say the things I say? New tweet. Kiana, stop talking. What are you doing? New tweet. Why they got to keep playing the same clip? This is the 4th time, bruh. So Kiana's having the reaction we want her to have.
Yeah, for sure. And at least she maybe sees, like, oh God, what was I doing? So, like, that's a positive.
So we will end on that positive note, unless you have anything else for this week.
No, I'm more concerned with my now next week. Do I take the role of the driver? Do I still stay as passenger? I guess there's only way to find out is to just go for it.
All right. Tune in as Adam has an existential crisis next week about how to interact with Brian. Thank you, Adam, for a great season. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And I won't see you next week, but Adam will.
Yeah, I'll be here with Brian.
Bye.